Hey, welcome to the Raj and Drew Show for Entrepreneurs. And we're kicking this thing off with why. Why another podcast? Why should there be another podcast for small business leaders, for entrepreneurs out there? And we wanted to give you a good reason, make a case for you today. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Raj and just ask you the question, why another podcast?
So, Drew, if you go back and look at it, there are a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, it comes from the business side. But a mixture of business and passion, it was very rarely seen around. At least all the podcasts I have seen. And they really didn't have a big history of why they started those things.
Okay.
So my whole passion has been around the small business stemming from my grandfather.
Yeah, you were telling me that story earlier. Tell the listeners. Yes. I love it.
So basically, I was born and raised in India in a small town basically called Miryalgada, where my grandfather was a business person.
Yeah.
And the interesting part of it is he was the richest person during his time. This was in the 50s in the village, and every single person respected him.
Mm.
He had 6 sons and 5 daughters, a big family.
I thought I had a lot with 5 kids, you know. Yeah. I mean, putting me to shame there.
But the interesting part of it is we were all so affluent family-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time it moved on from him to the next generation, almost 80% of us lost. And by the time the grandkids were there, the second generation came into picture, literally there was nothing available.
Mm.
So how can an organization or a family being so affluent in 2 generations lose everything else? And that was something. And I didn't get a chance to interact a lot with my grandfather because he passed away when I was in 5th grade.
Yeah.
And technically, you don't learn much about it.
Yeah.
And the more I spoke to my uncles, the more I spoke to my family members, my cousins and everybody else, there were certain things that came up. The first thing I think what I learned from the whole process was he was a very, very smart man, very intelligent man.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he built the business from scratch and he became the richest man. But second, he was a dictator all the time. He never changed. As the sons and the family and everybody else was getting into the business and it was growing, he still controlled by himself and it was all centered around him, but nothing with the delegation piece of it. If you really go back and look at it, once the organization is growing, basically you need people to be delegating some authority.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking on responsibility.
Well, and change. I mean, we talk about in future episodes, we're going to talk a lot about change and the change mindset and how you have to be open to change as a leader, even more so today with everything going on in just the last few weeks. You've got these crypto companies worth billions, you know, just evaporating overnight. The world is changing at a fast pace. Interest rates from the beginning of the year have doubled. We've never seen a change at that pace. And so we live in an ever-changing world, and even more so in this day and age. And who knows, it may be even faster as we continue to go, but we have to have that ability to change. I think it's so powerful that you mentioned that, and then we're going to talk about it more in the future.
Yes. Oh, definitely. And the second part of it is basically there is a CEO or the entrepreneur or the owner who has got the vision.
Yeah.
But there should be the next level of people who understand the vision and translate it for their teams and their departments.
Yeah.
And that was missing in the family piece of it, because none of my uncles really knew. They were very good in taking orders and executing to them.
Yeah.
But when he was gone, they really didn't know what was happening and how to go back and work with that piece of it. So that was the second piece of it.
So they understood just kind of the operations, the foundational operations, but not the business side of things, really.
Exactly. None of the strategic thinking.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people think that strategic planning is not very important. I can manage it.
Yeah.
You use the name strategy or not, you're always doing some planning.
Yeah.
It is going on in your head or on a piece of paper or informal structure. But formal or informal, that planning always happens. And it is always the successful companies have some system like that.
Yeah, well, it's the Stephen Covey begin with the end in mind.
Exactly.
You know, if you think about it from a vacation standpoint, if you before you even go on a vacation, you determine, like, you got on a flight here today. You knew you were going to end up in Dallas, right?
Exactly.
And so you check the weather so that you bring appropriate clothing, so you pack appropriately. You knew that we were going to meet. This was part of your end. And so you brought whatever you needed for that. I knew that I was coming here. You know, it's only an hour drive or so, but I knew I was coming here for this purpose of recording this podcast in your room. And so I brought a you know, some equipment and a microphone so that we could have this conversation successfully. Like you said, call it strategic planning or just planning or thinking ahead or what are your next five moves? Exactly. Whatever the case is, we need that that type of thinking. It's a core component yes. of any organization.
And that is something which we need to go back and really help people together.
Yeah.
So the first one was somebody starting the business and the vision, which every entrepreneur has a vision. That's why they start a business.
Yeah.
Now they need to go back and start delegating to some of the leaders as they're learning and scaling.
Mm-hmm.
And then they need to come up with some execution plan.
Yeah.
And then after the execution plan, they need to really go back and make sure they have the right people on the bus, like basically good to great, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, the biggest part of it Jim Collins talks about is do have the right people on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And once they're in the right people, are they in the right seats?
Yeah.
Two very, very, very important aspects of it for a scaling company. And as it grows, the magnitude of the impact is very high.
Yeah.
And then do you have the right metrics? Are we really measuring what we are doing very well? So I really found out from my family, we're talking to uncles and everything else. The biggest part of it is nobody understood the finances.
Mm.
Nobody understood the metrics. They were just going about doing their activities, but there really was no focus on trying to say, what did we do today? Did we reach our goal or not? Or what was the accounts at the end of the day or end of the week, whatever the time frame they were looking at things?
Yeah.
So that really, really go back and say, if you really don't know where you're going, every single direction is good.
Yeah.
Like in the Alice in the Wonderland, right? The cat, the Alice asks the cat, hey, basically, which direction? And the question the cat asks is, where would you like to go? And Alice says, it doesn't matter. And then the cat's answer was, it doesn't matter which way you go.
Yeah, exactly.
So that really comes to the picture. And that was also missing from what I looked at it from my family perspective.
Yeah.
And then the next part of it is always thinking and saying, are we changing with it? The example of you were talking about the crypto and everything else.
Yeah.
So always having a pulse and saying, what is happening thing around us?
Yeah.
What do we need to do to go back and change things? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is simple change and sometimes it is innovation and drastically a monumental change.
Yeah. You know, and I had worked with a restaurant that in 2020, they didn't change anything. They just got by with the basics and their sales, because they're part of a great organization, they stagnated, but they leveled. In 2021, you know, when I started working with them. No, but in 2021, they did decide, let's think differently. Let's make some of these changes. Maybe we aren't going to just go back to the way things were. We need to make some changes. They did immediately sales skyrocket. And so you have to be willing to change. And so you shared why you want to do this podcast. And from my perspective, I love learning this stuff from you. We've been meeting for 4 or 5 years.
Almost five years now.
My goodness. And it's been extremely beneficial to me, Raj, to have you speak into my life, into my business. And you're very practical in your approach. And so that's what I'm really excited for with the listeners, is that they're going to get a practical application, practical tips on how to. That's how my brain works too. So I always ask you, you know, what's the practical application? So you share those, and then it's more opportunity for me to pick your brain and learn some more, even about my own business. So you might be more like me, where Raj, you've been in the business world for, I don't want to say how many years?
32
years, right? And you've been through, in your own business, you've been through a recession before, you've been through the pandemic, and now, you know, who knows what's next on the horizon. It's definitely changing every day. Bloomberg says 100% chance of recession 1 month. The next month, they say 65%. I heard somebody else, the next day, 99%. You know, it's just all over the place. And so maybe there's another recession, maybe not, but some of you out there might relate to me and say, you know what, I'm more in that student role. And, you know, you can send in your questions. You can email us and send those in. We'll have all that information in the show notes. But we want to answer those questions. We want to be practical. And if you are learning how to lead your organization, maybe you've been doing it for 20 years, but you haven't been leading it. You've just been in the operations and it's been going. That's why we're doing this podcast and these episodes. And also for, you know, we shared a great meal before we got here and, a fantastic meal. The food was so good. But I got to tell you, I walked into this restaurant that I'd never been to before, and there were two people in there, and one of them worked there. So, and this is right at prime time, 12:15 for lunch rush. And there was nobody in there, but I thought I'm still going to go here. And we got the food and it was fantastic. But, you know, my heart really just goes out to the owner of this business. Their food should be in all the businesses. They should be catering in all the businesses around them. They should be have a line out the door because the product that they have is so good. But we know that in business, it's not just about that product that you deliver. There are so many other components to business. And if you're not hitting on those other components, then you're not going to get the result that you want.
So Drew, you bring up a very good point. So this chef or the owner of the business, whoever that piece is, they are very passionate about their food.
Yeah.
They are very, very good at what they do.
Yeah.
And that's how most of the entrepreneurs start. And there is no doubt you need to start with the passion. Yeah. You need to start with it. But if you do,
where I started for sure. Absolutely.
But if you don't have the business acumen to work with it, how long can you survive?
Yeah.
So here, the same example, the food was outstanding, but there was only one customer.
Yeah.
And then with both,
it's unsustainable that way either, right?
Exactly. It is not sustainable.
Yeah.
So now it is not just the food, but how many people know about your food and how many people are coming to you.
Yeah.
And that is what marketing is all about. That is all about sales.
Well, and even before that, if Raj or myself get an opportunity to meet with you before you branch out and start a secondary or third location, or maybe just your first location, you're starting out here. Where is your geographic area that you're serving?
Exactly.
Is the what you're serving line up with the people that live in that area, the demographics? Have we figured out who likes our food? What is our avatar, is what I like to call it, but kind of who is that ideal customer that we're looking at that loves our food, they're passionate about our food, they tell their friends about what we do, and are we going in their backyard or are we going somewhere else that is irrelevant?
Andrew, that is exactly what we say. We use the word strategy.
Yeah.
But that is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So when you're starting a business or you're expanding a business or whatever it is, start paying attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your ideal customer?
Yeah.
And everybody thinks that's a big exercise and very difficult. No, it is really, really very simple.
Practical. Practical questions.
Exactly. Like, basically, one of the biggest questions people ask me is, Raj, you worked for GE. You were a very, very senior leader in GE. You worked with a Fortune 10 company at that time.
Yeah.
And how come you moved in and you're serving small businesses? And my whole chip was basically small businesses, they're working more from a passion rather than the toolkit, based on my observation. I may be wrong. Some people might come with the right experience or expertise, but most of the predominantly, like the restaurant owner, what you're talking about and stuff, they're very passionate about what they do, but they don't have the toolkit.
Yeah.
And even when they go, basically, the market is so fragmented that it's very, very difficult for people to go back and get all of those tools.
Yeah.
And what I was focused on in the first 15 years of my life was working for big companies like GE and really saying, what does it make them successful?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the toolkit, the training I got from GE still sustains to me. I left GE 14 and a half years ago.
Yeah.
But the skills are still second nature to me. That was one of the best training grounds I ever had.
Yeah.
And my whole thing was I could go back and do that. And there is an interesting story. When I was with GE, Al Gore, basically when he was the vice president in 1998, 1999, basically he started an initiative saying that corporate should go back and help woman-owned and minority-owned businesses. It was an initiative called Business Link.
Yeah.
And then when it came to GE Capital, everybody was like, who is going to run this program, be part of it? And I raised my hand and everybody like, Raj, you don't even know anything else. I said, no, I'm very, very passionate about it.
Mm.
And through that program, every year you take one minority or woman-owned business, small business, and mentor for a year.
Okay.
So I've had the chance to mentor three different businesses over 3 years.
Yeah.
And one of them became so close. He said, Raj, whenever you are free, I want you to come and work with my team and help out. And I had a full-time career and a very busy career.
Yeah.
I said, the only time I'm available is on a Saturday because Sunday is for family.
Yeah.
He used to bring his whole team on Saturdays to work with me.
Wow.
He said, I'll give them my day off. I'm okay with that. But I want to build. And in 3 years, we took an $8 million in sales business to $22 million.
That's fantastic.
And he said, Raj, I was not even sure I know you were great in your leadership skills, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
But working on Saturdays, a few days a week, sometimes you would not even meet us for a few months.
Yeah.
And you help us grow from 8 million to 22 million.
Those are some great stats, folks.
Exactly.
If you're in small business and someone said, I can get you from 8 million to 22 million, you would sign up for that deal. I mean, that's fantastic.
And he was saying that. And I said, you know what? I can do all of those things, but I was scared of sales because I didn't know how to sell.
Yeah.
Because never in my life, I had a role of sales.
Yeah.
And that is how this whole VIP management came about. And I said, you know what? If I can help 3 companies part-time, a few hours here and there, what can I do?
Yeah.
And then my whole strategy was sales. And he said, Raj, I can bring you all the business. He's already a businessman. He has got a $22 million business.
Yeah.
And together we went into the partnership. And that's how the whole VIP management group came into picture.
Gotcha.
And it said, you know what? Full-time now I work with small businesses. That was my passion.
Wow.
I have a few customers sometimes because of my past contacts, they come. But yeah, predominantly 95% of my business is from small businesses who have less than 500 employees.
Yeah.
Almost 80% less than 150 employees. Because these are the things where you see the energy, you see the passion, you see everything else, and scaling is very easy.
Yeah. And well, and that's make or break.
Yes.
In that kind of business. You're either you know, hitting your revenue goals, you're hitting your profit margins, or you're not. Whereas, you know, at the time of this recording, Twitter sold a couple of weeks ago. You know, we were just talking about Uber recently. These people aren't making money. They've never made money, but they're a big business, you know, because they're taking in other people's money.
Exactly.
And it's a bet on a dream.
Exactly.
But in the small business world, you don't have that.
Exactly.
You have, hey, we're actually making things happen or we're not. Exactly. And you know very quickly, and you have to be able to move very quickly and make change quickly in a changing environment to succeed.
And especially in the small business, when you have 10 employees, what works does not work when you have 20 employees.
The stages of growth.
Exactly.
Another thing that we're going to talk about heavily is something that you're an expert in are these various stages that we talked about this before. The stages of growth, and really, when you're talking about sales, I think if you want to move the needle the most in a company, maybe when you're super small, it's a rock star, one salesperson, you're a rock star.
Yes.
But once you have 10, 20 people, 30 people, good leaders, great leaders are going to move the needle more than anything else because they can get buy-in from the team, they can get things moving, they can get things going. But stages of growth, we were discussing this. You know, you can have a company because of their industry, their revenues might be over 100 million, but they have 15, 20 employees.
Yes.
And you might have the same person, and check, make sure I'm saying this right. You might have the same company that is doing 10 million in sales, but they have 100 employees. They're going to be, the small company is going to be further along in stages of growth because it has more people that you have to work with. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you have 100 people, basically you're talking about a stage 5 company.
Okay. Yes.
When you have only 20 people, you're talking about a stage 2 getting into stage 3.
Because each person complicates the whole thing.
Exactly.
And working, when you're working with people, it's not a spreadsheet. It's not some software that you have to pick up. It's having to deal with the stuff of life and work through challenges and get people trained and get their skill sets and their competencies where they need to be and keep them around when other folks, if they're good, you know, are trying to pick them off from you. And so what makes them want to stay there and how do you get buy-in from those people? So that's so fascinating. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there have never thought of the stages of their company based on the number of people.
Yes.
And the changes that you need to make, the critical stepping stones are centered around people growth.
Yes.
And not necessarily revenue growth.
The people growth is very, very critical for scaling until you get to 500 employees.
Okay.
After that, it is not so that it becomes because you have enough systems and processes in place after the 500 employees, there, it doesn't matter you're looking at revenue or people.
Yeah.
People will always be there. And that's the reason why when you go back and look at it from a transformation perspective, we talk about 3 things. The first one is strategy transformation. If I look at all the companies I have worked with over the past 15 years and my colleagues and some of the research of another 1,400 small businesses.
Yeah.
So totally, we have a sample size of at least 1,700 to 1,800 small businesses.
That's huge.
Yes. And if you look at that piece of it, one is strategy transformation, which is 60, 70% of the people really don't have a good system in place for strategy transformation.
Okay.
The next one is people transformation. And basically, the third piece of it is process transformation.
Mm.
So people, process, strategy, those are the three transformations. And if you look at any single company, if they're not doing very well, one of the three is lagging. Yeah. I can tell you that with 100% assurance. I can walk into a business, talk to them, spend 2 hours, and I can go back and say, you know what? You have a process challenge here. You need some process transformation here. Oh, you know what? Here you have a people problem. Yeah. Or you have a strategy problem here. So any business, you look at it from less, again, I'm always talking about small and medium-sized companies, less than 500 employees. And one of the three is always missing if you're not reaching your goals.
Mm.
Or sometimes you don't even have a goals if you don't have a strategy.
Yeah.
You may be thinking that I have goals, but you really do not have any planning behind that.
Just kind of one of the day-to-day operations.
Exactly.
That is great. We've been going on for about 25 minutes now. And so I don't know if there's anything before we go. I think if any of what we talked about is of interest to you, if you're a small business leader, you've got folks with a tremendous amount of experience. I'm the leadership guy. I have a background in leading people, but not necessarily in running my own business. And so that was a hurdle that I've had to overcome and continuing to grow and develop in. And so so that's kind of our two perspectives that we're coming from. If that's of interest to you, we'd love for you to just save our information. Make sure you tune in for the following podcast and participate. Raj, do you have any parting words? Anything you want to say before we go?
So basically, we are going to consistently go back and deliver value of at least 30 to 45 minutes every week. And all of this will be from real-time experiences working with our clients. For helping our privacy of our clients, we are not going to use the names of the clients, but anything that we share is something that we have implemented, something that we have shared, that we have tested and learned from it.
Yeah.
So that is the huge advantage of this is we are bringing information from our own experiences, from our customers' experiences.
Yeah.
So everything that we have done, we have been there, we have done that, and we have seen what the result is. And that is what we want to share.
Yeah, and we'll always try to share the size of the company,
yes,
people-wise. Exactly. You know, they have 100 employees, their organization 150, 300, whatever the case is.
Yes.
And we will bring that information. Some 15 employees,
yes,
small staff. And so we want to make sure that we're hitting a broad swath of people and that those of you out there in that small to medium-sized business can relate and get value from what we're doing here today. So thank you so much for tuning in. Raj, thank you so much for all your expertise.
Oh, you're welcome, Drew. And thank you for the listeners. So please just go back and listen to the next few podcasts and see what value, and send us a message if you want some additional information.
Yeah, information will be in the notes.
That.
Yeah.